A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then, when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory. And his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Has it ever seemed odd to you that some of our Christian brothers and sisters who insist that they read Scripture strictly literally can't abide dancing or drinking? It would appear from today's gospel story that Jesus did not have that hang-up. He knows how to keep a party going. Even if he seems a little reluctant to accept the job. Here we are, right after Christmas, with those Christmas images of Mary, the lovely, loving mother who carries Jesus to his birth. And today, sort of abruptly, we're in this John's Gospel, where, in the entirety of the Gospel, by the way, Mary is mentioned only twice, and never by name, only referred to as the mother of Jesus. But she is very important in this story. She appears in the narrative, did you notice? She appears in the narrative even before Jesus does. And she's the one who gets the action going. Mary notices the wine is running low. And these feasts went on for days. So this would be a great embarrassment for the host family. She mentions it to Jesus, and he responds calling her woman with what is essentially, "So what? That's not my problem." This is not the way a son would address his mother. Historians tell us that in the culture of the day there, it was common for a husband to address his wife as woman. By the way, it is not acceptable at my house. I've checked. Jesus does say, very significantly, "My hour has not yet come." Mary might not know the full significance of that statement, which is a foreshadowing of the complete mission of Jesus. But she does know her son well enough to instruct the attendants to do whatever he tells you. And this is really important. John is showing us Mary, who doesn't know everything, who is separated to some degree from the intimacy that Jesus has with the Father, but she does already know that what Jesus teaches both deserves and requires action. She is our model of faith, once again, in this story. Whatever he says, do it. I don't know what it will be, but I do know that whatever it is what will bring you life in abundance and joy. That's what she's saying. Now, in John's Gospel, there are two characters who are never named but are very important. Mary is one, and the other is the beloved disciple. They are not named because it's not their personalities that are important to the story. It's their radical discipleship, their complete willingness to follow Jesus. In both of them, we have individuals who are able to give themselves over to a relationship of trust in Jesus that allows them to act differently, to see God's grace in their lives more clearly, to react to the sorrows and the joys of their lives differently in the light of that grace, and even to call others to close relationship with Christ and action as a result of it. Throughout all of the gospel accounts, Mary is able to see God's grace and God's call in her life. And this, for us, is worth striving for, to be able to see grace and opportunities for grace to enter our lives. We're living in a time and a culture that is unlike any other in human history. The variety of things we can see and hear about that are happening in the rest of the world, that's unprecedented, and it's growing at an ever-increasing rate. The range and quantity of data, experiences, images, and ideas to which we have access on our phones is astonishing. And in some ways, it's quite dangerous because it can be overwhelming and leave us numb. What's important in this is our ability to discern, as Mary was able to discern, from all that comes at us, to discern what is true, to build up our ability to separate what truly makes us alive from what leads to isolation or fear or selfishness and ultimately death. Our ability to do that, to make those distinctions, doesn't seem to be growing as fast as our access to information, does it? But there's a guide in today's story that's very helpful. Mary is the guide. Mary sees an opportunity for grace to enter the world, for God's love to be demonstrated. She prays. She simply names the need. But she does not stop there. She modestly prepares the way for Christ to do whatever Christ will do. A lot has been said about the setting of this story, being at a wedding feast, offering us a model of Christ as the bridegroom and we, the church, as the bride. And that's a very good image. But I want to offer another one for your consideration today. Bernard Cook, who's a contemporary theologian, has called marriage the first sacrament because we can begin to get an understanding, a little bit of an idea, of God's deep love for each of us from our own experience of being truly loved by another human being who chooses us for deepest intimacy and who stays true to that relationship. Our gospel today ends with this line. Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, his divine nature. And his disciples began to believe in him. In a few minutes, we will be, as believers, united in our communion procession. At that time, let's pray to be open as Mary was open, to see grace present in each moment, in each situation. Let's pray to trust and to act on whatever Christ asks of us this week. And let's pray to become more like the ever faithful spouse of Christ, so that we can each offer to anyone we meet this week some taste, some reminder of the deep love that God has for them.